Welcome to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Stock market, wealth, personal finance, value stocks. Invest in your life.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Today we have Lawrence Bensdorp, but before we get into that, we do have a very special discussion about the Equifax credit breach. So if you're still wondering what to do about that, we've got a few thoughts. And we'll go ahead and do that, and then we'll get into our interview. But before we do any of that, we need to go to Joe Saul Sehi for a little bit of a word from our sponsor, the Buzz Index.
Awesome. Well, if anybody's ever wondered if there were a way to capitalize on all that online chatter of the millions of investors on social media, your wait's over, because the same artificial intelligence techniques used by some of the world's most sophisticated hedge funds, that's now at your fingertips, and you can make their edge your edge. The Buzz Index, which is licensed to an exchange-traded fund and trades under ticker symbol BUZ, provides investors with a portfolio of securities that show the highest degree of positive investor sentiment online. There's no surveys. They don't guess. Here's what they do instead. They target the most mentioned large-cap U.S. stocks across a social media landscape. And as the conversation gets more active, the reliability of the buzz gets greater. Each of the most mentioned stocks is given an insight score based on Buzz's proprietary analytics. And the 75 stocks that have the most bullish scores, those get included in the well-rounded index. Each month, the Buzz is tracked to capture the latest big data-driven insights. And then the 75 companies, again, with the most bullish scores are selected next month, positioning Buzz to capture the highest return potential. Invest in the wisdom of crowds. Head to moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ for a link to Buzz Index and more information. That's moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ. And this is interesting, Miranda, because historically, when people talk about active management, they talk about some manager and a dartboard, but that's no longer the case.
Yeah, it really isn't. And it's a really great thing to be able to look at the wisdom of the crowds, because now when you're looking at a manager, he's got all sorts of information. We live in the information age, and you've got all sorts of information coming at you from all directions, and trying to organize that can be difficult.
Right. And not a person who's deciding what's important and what's not. It's all an algorithm. And I don't think this is just Buzz. I think this is a lot of people, but we're not here to talk about this. We're here to talk about Equifax, huh?
That's right. Let's get right in there real quick. Let's go ahead and introduce our panelists today, our fabulous people. We've got Douglas Goldstein from Rich as a King and Goldstein on Gelt. How are you doing today, Doug?
Hey, Miranda. I'm doing excellently. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Did you have a good New Year?
We did. Thank you very much. It was the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. It was the Jewish New Year. It was fantastic.
Awesome. And just gearing up now for that Day of Atonement.
And what?
Uh-oh. Won't go
All right. Next, we've got Joe Saul Sehi from Stacking Benjamins, the award-winning Joe Saul Sehi. How are you doing today, Joe?
Every day here on the show is a Day of Atonement for me.
Well, you know how it is. And we have Linda P. Jones from Be Wealthy and Smart. How are you today, Linda?
Hey, Miranda. I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing all right. We're ready to go. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about this Equifax cluster. What are some of your thoughts on that? Do you feel like, was anybody exposed in this? Did you change the way you managed your credit? What are you guys doing about this Equifax thing?
Yeah, I don't really understand the whole way of checking. And I was wondering, could I just tell you all my social security number now, my date of birth, and some of my information? You can look up on the system and see if I've been exposed.
We don't even need you to give it to us. The Russian hackers already have it. I'll just get it from them.
I got to tell you, this is awful. You know, I don't think people necessarily realize who aren't thinking about it, how, you know, this boring data about yourself has literally been stolen, and people spend years and years trying to build up a good credit rating. And when your data is going to be sold and used in some terrible way, it's going to ruin all that work, and it's going to be up to each person to solve his own problem. I think it's a nightmare that people don't necessarily even understand how bad it is. And this information is going to last forever. Your date of birth and social security number, they don't change. So that information is out there for half of the listeners to the Money Tree Podcast.
That's right. And I think it's worth noting, too, I listened to a great thing from the head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Richard Cordray, and he talked about how really, there's not a whole lot. You know, people talk about, okay, we'll go in and do a credit freeze, and that'll make it hard for somebody to open another line of credit in your name. Well, there are some things like your credit card account number that might have been exposed, that it doesn't, the credit freeze isn't going to stop somebody from using your stolen credit card number. He was just talking about how your best bet at this point is to just be very vigilant and make sure you're monitoring your accounts, which is something that we can do thanks to the internet. So you can check in once a week or whatever and make sure there aren't any shady things going on. What about you, Linda? How have you been feeling about this situation?
Well, I'm, of course, very upset, just like everyone. And I did go to a site where you can check and see if your information's been compromised. And the best that they said was, your information might have been compromised, which I thought was really lame. Why did you give that answer to everyone? So I didn't like that at all. But
yeah, and by the way, will you sign up for this monitoring service? Can you trust
exactly, which I was really uncomfortable doing because you have to give your whole social security number for that. So I didn't do that, but my strategy is I have I believe it's Citibank card that allows me to check my credit whenever I want to without affecting my FICO score. So my strategy is I'm going to be regularly checking my credit. And I know that's not a perfect strategy, but I've decided that's the one I want to use for myself because I just did not trust giving my information to someone else and thinking that they're going to protect me. That didn't make sense to me to give them my full social security number. So that's sort of what I've resigned myself to do, is just check myself.
Can you explain how you actually do that?
Yeah, well, on this credit card, when I go into the website for the credit card, it allows me to pay the card or it allows me to click on something and check my FICO score. And so it says you can click on this, check your FICO score whenever you want to, and it doesn't hurt your FICO score or cause you any downside for checking frequently. So I'm just using that ability through my credit card to check my FICO score.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting, Linda, that anytime, no matter who you go through, anytime you check your own credit, it never dings you. So it will never bring your own credit down anytime you check your own credit. So that's something to keep in mind. And also another great place to go if you want to check your credit reports is annualcreditreport.com. And annualcreditreport.com will allow you access to your actual credit report, which lists out everything. So you can get an idea of if there's been new accounts opened, if new lines of credit are opened, and you are entitled to one free credit report a year from each of the three major credit bureaus. But I do want to kind of switch gears a little bit because one of the interesting things about this Equifax situation was it came out that they knew about the hack about 6 weeks before they announced that the hack had happened. And in that intervening time, some Equifax executives actually sold some stock.
Ooh.
So Joe, Salcihi, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about, you know, is this insider trading and should they have done that? I mean, it seems a little shady.
Well, I think there's clearly an investigation here. They've said repeatedly that it wasn't insider trading. But man, does the timing look super suspicious on this. So if there isn't an investigation, I'm incredibly surprised. And on our Stacking Benjamin show, it's funny, a couple of weeks ago, as this was going on, OG on our show, my co-host said that he thinks that Equifax is actually going to go bankrupt. And now you see Reuters saying that it's becoming increasingly likely that Reuters goes bankrupt. So not only are we going to see hopefully an investigation into what happened, but I think that all of the lawsuits that are following this might mean Equifax goes bankrupt. I'll tell you what happens with a lot of investors, since that's kind of also, or not just on the insider trading, but there's people that a lot of the time when I was a financial planner, a lot of people would come into my office and ask me about these situations. Well, I don't think Equifax is really going to go bankrupt, so I'm going to buy the stock while it's down. So when it comes back, that I make a bunch of money, realize there are 5 bajillion other stocks that don't have the stuff going on that Equifax has going on. And so playing the Equifax game, if the stock hasn't gone under by the time that this airs, is a very, very dangerous game to play, and I wouldn't get involved.
Can I just comment on one thing Joe said? Because I don't want to be one of those media channels that puts things out that makes people very suspicious about, other people who actually might be perfectly innocent. It is very, very common for insiders of not to know every single thing going on. We don't yet know who are the people who sold out. And I think that before we cast judgment,
yeah, but there's
we
still,
need to let...
There still has to be an investigation, though. All I said is there has to be an investigation.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
Accused. I think you're guilty. No, I'm just saying, let's give them a chance to work it out, because there are probably a lot of people there. You know, there's 10,000 employees at Equifax. They may not have all been involved
right.
in this.
But I think Joe makes a good point that the optics of the situation don't look... I mean, they're already suffering from a killer PR nightmare between the waiting so long to disclose the hack, between charging people then to put credit freezes on their accounts if they wanted to, between sending them to this semi-shady third-party credit monitoring service, and then setting things up on a separate domain and making it easy for somebody else to spoof. And then not only that, but their social media account, their Twitter account, sent people to the phishing site instead of their own site. So, I mean, you look at all of this nightmare, and the optics of when they sold their stock looks pretty bad.
Well, the part that's that I think we can all learn from is make sure you set up your passwords in a way that it's more difficult for hackers. I understand the hackers have this complex equipment, so they'll get into anything sooner or later, but don't make it so easy. Did you see what Equifax... What the password was that they picked?
No.
It was...
What was it?
It was admin admin.
What?
Which was the default.
Oh, my
God. So admin admin was the default, and they had left the default at admin admin. So I think that I think there's a lesson there that we all think that we're not going to get hacked. We're not going to be the person that somebody comes after until it's too late.
Maybe we should put a list of really good passwords on the Money Tree Podcast website so people could use really good ones better than admin admin.
Yeah, be like password 12, like most of us, you know? or the last four digits of my social security number followed by my last name, you know, something cryptic like that. But seriously, I pay for a password manager called Dashlane.
Ooh,
and when I go into sites, it creates a password that I don't even know. And it keeps track of them. Now, if Dashlane gets compromised, I'm completely screwed. However, when I look at the passwords that I have for all these different sites, they're so cryptic and they're stuff that I would have never come up with. I think that's an extra layer of security that I think we should all look at.
And they're all different, Joe. That's the main thing. Most people normally have the same password for everything. And here, if you use Dashlane, every single one of your passwords is different. So that gives a huge level of protection.
Right.
For sure. And what were you going to say, Linda?
Well, just shifting gears a little bit, I was just going to say that it's a problem for corporations because they need to spend money on their technology to have these firewalls and to, you know, have security. It is a huge expenditure, and it's something corporations are reluctant to do because they don't get any return on that money invested. But of course, it's a need to do because of things like this. And if Equifax does go bankrupt, that's even more ammunition that corporations need to do this to protect their very ability to stay in business. So it's, you know, it's a huge investment for corporations, but it's necessary, and something a company like this that the public trusts has to be super, super diligent about their security and about getting this right.
And speaking of getting this right, let's segue into our interview today with Lawrence Bensdorp and talk a little bit about getting it right with a trading system. So when we're talking about trading and we're talking about investing and trying to decide what to do next, I mean, you know, Joe was talking a little bit earlier about Equifax and how people are like, oh, well, let's just get into that. Well, the stock is so low, but what if it goes even lower or they go bust? You know, there are plenty of other companies out there, plenty of other stocks out there that are values right now without the same sort of baggage hanging over their heads. I am here with Lawrence Bensdorp, and you're talking about being a 30-minute stock trader. How does this work? Whenever we think about stock trading and especially individual stocks, we think about a process that's very complex and takes years and years to master. So tell me about this 30-minute system.
Basically, a 30-minute system is an automated trading system. So you use the computer on a daily basis to scan the complete universe for stocks. You only need to actually sit behind the screen for 30 minutes. And you can do those 30 minutes. You can do them in the morning before the market opens, or you can do it in the evening as well when the market has closed, because this system uses end of day historical prices of the stocks. So we do not need any intraday interaction for our systems.
Okay, so you talk about using these systems and using the computer. Now, is this a system that, is this like a special system that you've developed, or can you program this on your own with your own computer?
No, this is quite a special system. There's actually in the book, there's three different systems in there for different kind of personalities, but it is not something that one without any kind of skills could basically program in their computer. In the book are all the rules of the systems completely revealed.
Oh, okay. Now, these are rules then. Now, obviously, you don't want to like reveal all the rules, but what are some of the basic rules that you talk about? Like, what are one or two of the things that you talk about when doing this system and using your computer?
Let me start with one of the systems, which is a, you've got different kind of systems. We've got systems that are trend following systems, and then we've got systems that are more mean reverting systems. The first system is a trend following system. Basically, what it does is it measures on a daily basis the stocks that are most trending up, and those stocks will be bought. And the key with trend following is to stay in those stocks as long as they trend up and not go out of them. As soon as they start to drop, then we sell the stocks and we are either in cash or it will be replaced by trading other stocks that are more in favor. And this specific system is a system that is trading long only. And so it's very suitable as well for people who have IRA accounts. It's a very simple system where we basically say the market needs to be up and we need to be in trending stocks. So most of the times in bull markets, it's making great money. And in bear markets, it's actually out of the money. So this system has achieved since 1995 a compounded annual growth rate of close to 20% and has a drawdown, which is less than half of the S&P 500.
Okay, so now, you said that there were different systems based on personalities. So what kind of person would a trending, this sort of trending system work for? What kind of person would you need to be?
This would definitely be a system that is very suitable for somebody who watches the news and who like to be in the stocks that are basically the flavor of the month. Like in the last couple of years, you've had those Tesla, Netflix stocks, etc. Those will be the stocks that you're in. So it's basically a system where when people watch the news, etc., they read the Wall Street Journal, whatever, and they see all kind of stories about those high-flying stocks. This is the system you want to trade because it's trading exactly those stocks, because it measures on a weekly basis what has been the strongest performance of the stocks, and those are the stocks that will be traded.
Okay, so then what if you aren't quite into that? What kind of a system would you use if you have a personality that's more kind of cautious?
That's always a good one, yes, because I've got two other systems as well, which both are mean reversion system, and we've got a long mean reversion system and a short mean reversion system. Now, the long mean reversion system, the main thing is that we do not look for hugely uptrending stocks. What we actually look for is stocks that have had a significant amount of fear. So they have been out of favor, actually, for a lot of investors. However, if on specific times you buy those stocks, there is a very large statistical edge in doing so. The difficulty is, however, that you need to go against the crowd. I mean, these will be stocks, for example, that in a week time have lost 10, 15%, etc. And those are the stocks that you will be buying. And basically what we do is we buy the fear. And then when we have an open position, we wait until it reverts back to its mean. So it moves up again, and then we get out. So this system is really a contrarian system. And it is, as far as duration, it's a very short-term system with trade durations between 2 and 7 days. What you see is that the compounded annual growth rate is very similar to the trend following system. It's just a complete different system for a different personality. The short selling system is a system for people who like to sell stock short and basically make a lot of money when the market goes down. That, of course, is a complete different way of trading as well, which is incredibly useful when we get another 2008 scenario.
Now, with these systems, is it something that you then have to go out and buy and then load into your computer?
No, I do not sell the software for the exact settings of those systems. I do sell a software that people can use then, but basically I reveal all the rules, and when people are interested in actually trading those specific settings, they can contact me and then we can get on a talk and see what is possible and if it would be something for them, if they might be interested in joining the Elite Mentoring Program. But I do not sell the software without any kind of training or anything. Of course, if people are very skilled and if they see the rules in the book, they should be able to program it themselves, or they can hire a programmer as well.
Oh, okay. So what are some of the advantages of like using a system? How does using a system help an investor stay on track or see better returns? How does a system help?
So a system basically is a set of specific buy and sell rules, which have been backtested with historical price data. Therefore, we know already exactly how this system has performed in the past. So it gives us, first of all, the certainty what kind of an edge this specific system has. And I think that part gives the investor or trader a really big edge and a large amount of confidence if they actually know that what they will be buying according to those specific rules actually has a statistical edge. And that, of course, is something which is incredibly important, because most investors, they buy and they sell, but many times there's not really a rule-based process behind that. And when there's no kind of rule-based process, then I think it's incredibly difficult to make money if we do not really know what we're doing.
Okay, yeah, so that makes a lot of sense. And then do you think, too, that it can also help you take some of that emotion out of the investing?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the other part. What we need to do, of course, I do that in my personal trading and also with my money management company. The only thing we do is on a daily basis, we scan our computer with the software for the exact buying and selling signals. And that's what we need to put in our broker platform. We do not watch the news. We do not care about any kind of news messages. We do not care if there's a lot of fear in the market. We just basically put in our orders according to what the system tells us to do. And there's a huge edge in there.
Okay, very cool. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you don't mind, can you tell us where our listeners can find you online?
Yes, absolutely. They can go to my website, tradingmasteryschool.com. And if they are interested in buying the book, they can do so, of course, at Amazon. It's for sale there on Amazon. And when they do so, when they've bought the book, they can register on my website as well for a free video course, which goes a lot deeper into the systems as well. So it's tradingmasteryschool.com.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us today. And now we will head into the roundtable portion of the show.
Thanks for that awesome interview, Miranda. Hey, if you're somebody that is looking for a way to invest in the wisdom of all the crowds of people talking on social media, well, guess what? Your wait's over, because now there's artificial intelligence that some of the world's most sophisticated hedge funds use, and that edge can be your edge. It's called the Buzz Index, and it's licensed to an exchange-traded fund that trades under ticker symbol BUZ, and that gives you a portfolio of securities that show the highest degree of positive investor sentiment online. They don't use surveys. They don't guess. Instead, what they do is listen to the wide variety of topics that people talk about online, and they aggregate that data so that the most mentioned large cap U.S. stocks across social media work their way into their filter. And as the conversation's more active, that means there's more reliability when it comes to the buzz around that stocks. Each of the most mentioned stocks is given an insight score based on Buzz's proprietary analytics. And the 75 that have the most positive buzz, well, guess what? Those get included in the Buzz Index. If you want to check it out, head to moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ for a link to the Buzz Index, and also to sign up for their newsletter that comes out whenever there's new buzz. So at the very least, you can check out and see when things are moving online on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all the social media channels out there. That's moneytreepodcast.com/BUZZ. A disclaimer, I invest in the Buzz Index. Doesn't make it right for you. Check it out on your own and see if it fits your portfolio. All right, Miranda, fantastic interview. And I think you're probably going to want us to talk about systems today.
Yes, let's talk about systems. Having something like the buzz is kind of like having a system. They've got the algorithms, they work it out. But there are lots of other trading systems out there. And some of them are automated and some of them are not. But let's start with you, Linda. How do you feel about these types of automated trading systems? And do you have your own system that you use that maybe not, you know, be so automated?
I think there's a lot of systems out there that people use. And if you want to invest in stocks, you need to find one that works for you. And our guest, you know, founded a system that works for him. I think from the perspective of investing, the main thing that is so crucial is for people to really buy and hold. I think, you know, buying and holding for the long term is what is a super important strategy for people to do. But I just wanted to give you a couple of statistics of what's going on in the market right now. The top six stocks in the S&P 500 are equal to $3.4 trillion. And those top six stocks aren't just the FANG stocks. Some of them are included, but it's Facebook, Apple, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, and Johnson & Johnson. Those top six stocks have worth of $3.4 trillion, equal to the bottom 1,115 stocks in the S&P 1500. So we have a very narrow range of a few companies that are driving tremendous value. And I think, you know, that does two things. It makes it easy for momentum investors who are in those stocks to do well, but it also is very dangerous because there's only a handful of companies that are really driving a lot of the performance in the market. So I think that is something to be very aware of. And the other thing that's interesting this year is that active management is actually outperforming passive management for the first time. So will that be a new long-term trend or not? We don't know, but the professional stock pickers are actually doing better than just the passive ETF indexes this year, which is kind of interesting to note.
Well, and that's because the S&P is the market, you know, as the economy, I think, Linda, has slowed down some. The S&P, the results from the S&P have really narrowed. And when the S&P results narrow, where it's coming from a narrow path of stocks instead of the broader index as a whole, I think that's where they get their able to eke out some better returns. Do you agree with that?
I do. I think they can find some other stocks that can outperform, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, versus when the broader index goes up, I think it's a little harder for active managers.
Yeah. So where do you stand on this, Doug? I mean, how do you think about systems? Now, one of the things I did like about what our guest said is he talked about how he didn't just sell the system to just anybody who wandered around. They needed to actually work with him and get his kind of expert input and advice. I know you're a money manager. Do you think that that makes sense? Whether or not you're working with a system, do you think that it makes sense to maybe get some of that professional insight based on your actual goals and everything like that?
So just to clarify, I myself am actually not a money manager. I work with money managers, and I'm glad you brought it up because I think it's a really important distinction. There are people who are financial advisors like I am, and Joe is a retired financial advisor, where we spend our time talking to clients. The most important person in the relationship that we have is the client, trying to figure out what are the issues the clients have, what are their concerns, what's their tolerance for risk, what would be a reasonable asset allocation model for them to have. And we walk them through the whole process of getting set up and investing and following it and making adjustments as their lives change. The tool that we use, and I don't want to call any money manager a tool, but the tool that we use is a money manager. We say, okay, listen, Mr. Money Manager, we're going to give you a third of this portfolio. So here's, you know, $250,000. We need you to invest it in such and such a manner. Their job is then to sit at the computer or go visit the companies or do whatever research they're going to do. And they're going to hopefully add value to the investment portfolio, which really is very difficult. And that's why you want to be able to select from many, many different managers. The one point I wanted to make, because you also asked about systems, and just a warning to people, there are a lot of different ways of studying investments. And a very common thing people like to do is they like to do a retrospective study. And, you know, the stock market's been around for a long, long time, and you can come up with all sorts of systems, backtest them retrospectively, and then say, well, I've checked XYZ system retrospectively, and, you know, it's done a phenomenal return over time, and therefore, this is what I'm going to use. But, you know, if you ask anyone in the statistics world, retrospective studies are real problematic because they can be self-fulfilling. You just find the system that happened to have worked in the past. And then, you know, as we always tell people, past performance is no guarantee of future return. So I'm not saying that the system's bad. And there are certainly a lot of investment systems that I like and I'm interested in. And I like a lot of managers, but just be careful when you're only looking retrospectively.
But I also think that if you're coming up with a system, backtesting is clearly the place to start. Because obviously, where I totally agree with what Doug says, you can't create a system for the future without seeing if it's worked in the past. And reading the great series of books, Stock Market Wizards, the thing that has become clear is that you never see a great investor who doesn't use some type of system, or they don't use a money manager as a system. Like you will rarely see somebody who became wealthy because of their stock picks just by throwing darts. It was generally the result of having a good system of investment.
And when you talk about a good system of investment, what are you talking about, Joe? What are some of the systems that you use to help you with your good system of investment?
Well, I mean, for me, the system is modern portfolio theory, asset allocation using the efficient frontier, right? So finding out historically where that efficient frontier lies. This is Dr. Harry Markowitz research. So the most efficient path to my goal, which I start off with my goal on the end, and then I work my way to today. What do I need to reach that goal? I need to save X amount of money and I need Y return. And when I have that return in hand, then I go and I look at the efficient frontier, which is historically, what's the most efficient asset allocation that has got me there in the past? Then I choose exchange traded funds that have replicated that. So for me, my system then is just rebalance twice a year and stay on the efficient frontier. When I talk about the play part of my portfolio, I start off with free cash flow when I look at individual stocks, and then I have a series of filters down from there. But it all starts with free cash flow and then works down from that.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good way to approach things and a really good way to stay on top of the situation. So with that said, let's go ahead and finish up and figure out what's going on in everybody's world. Doug, let's start with you. What's happening in the world of Doug Goldstein?
Hey, thank you very much. Actually, my book that I wrote called The Retirement Book, I just won an award. I became a finalist from Senior Homes, which is like this organization that looks at things for retirement. And they awarded me a Senior Home finalist of 2017 for the book that's available actually for people who come to my website, goldsteinongelt.com. Of course, it's really great if you go to Amazon and buy the book. But if you want a free copy of the ebook version of the book, that is available for people sign up at goldsteinongelt.com. So you're welcome to do that.
Great. And what about you, Joe? What's happening over in the world of your mom's basement?
Well, Gretchen Rubin, New York Times bestselling author Gretchen Rubin. And by the way, we just recorded this interview and she became a New York Times bestseller the same day. Coincidence? Probably not. But she wrote this book called The Four Tendencies. And I think that when you're working with people, it's better to speak their language to them than to speak yours if you're trying to have effective communication, which helps us all make more money. So she's going to tell us about the four tendencies on the Stack and Benjamin show.
Awesome. And what about you, Linda? What's happening at Be Wealthy and Smart?
Well, I just want to say when my book comes out, I want to go on Joe's show. So I'll be a bestseller too. If that's the secret, awesome.
Does it work retrospectively?
That's right.
Congratulations to Doug on your award. That's really cool. Be Wealthy and Smart, I did a podcast about active versus passive investing and talked about a few of those things. So if you want to continue this conversation that we just talked about, you can go over there and listen to a little bit more from a different perspective. And Miranda, what's going on with you?
Yeah, so we had Doug Nordman, which some of you know. We had him on recently to talk about living a financially independent life over at adulting.tv. So head on over to adulting.tv. It's our B series. It's our podcast. So go ahead and subscribe and learn more about how to attain financial independence. And with that said, remember that you can check us out at moneytreepodcast.com, download all of the episodes, get our show notes, and get more information. Also, don't forget to subscribe to us. We are on iTunes and Stitcher, and we will soon be coming to Google Play. So make sure you check us out on whichever platform you prefer. And don't forget, no one will take care of your money as well as you do. So invest in your life.
Thank you for listening to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Visit us at moneytreepodcast.com for more free investing resources.